Welcome now to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we have a guest, I'm happy to say, in the form of Anna Vidovich. She's going to be performing tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra at the Capitol Theater, 7:30. The program will include, and how appropriate, a work by Mozart on his birthday, Symphony No. 30, the Bruckner Third Symphony, and in between the delightful Concierto de Aranjuez by Rodrigo, and that will be the piece that features my guest today, Anna Vidovich. Welcome back to the Midday in Wisconsin.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
Been just about going on 3 years.
Yes, 3 years.
You played the Castelnuovo Tedesco guitar concerto on that occasion with the Chamber Orchestra.
Yes, and now we're doing the Rodrigo, which is one of the most famous, if not the most famous, concerto for guitar and orchestra. So I'm very, very excited, and I was very happy when they asked me to do it. And, of course, the orchestra is wonderful, and great to be working together with Andrew again.
Yeah, that's one of those concertos that became popular immediately and just stayed popular, has been ever since 1939 when it was first performed.
Yes.
The guitar, I was thinking about this morning, has this kind of interesting two-part appearance in the classical repertory. Back around the time of Beethoven, you had Fernando Sor and Mauro Giuliani, and Carulli would be another composer of the time who brought the guitar into the classical repertory.
Absolutely.
With guitar concertos in particular performed, you know, with full-size orchestras of the time. And then it's after about, what, 1830 or so, the time of, say, the Paganini violin-guitar sonatas and that kind of thing, it seems to have disappeared for a long time from the repertory, the guitar. You don't find it again until the early 20th century. Do you think it was Segovia who really brought it back single-handedly?
I think so, absolutely. I think Segovia did so many wonderful things for the classical guitar, and I actually don't think we classical guitarists would be here today if it was not for him. He commissioned a lot of works. He worked with a lot of great composers, and he, at the time, you know, he has performed all over the world in biggest halls. And just brought the guitar on a really, really high level that it deserves. So I would definitely say that he was one of the most important figures in classical guitar.
Okay, well, now you mentioned, you know, the big halls, and of course some of them today, as they were 200 years ago, are enormous. They're designed for large, large audiences. But the guitar does not really come out of that tradition. Okay, it's a relatively soft-voiced instrument.
Yes.
And in recent years, there has been a tendency to amplify it.
Yeah, it's just we live in a time where it's possible to do it, and I think guitarists are playing more and more in larger halls. So it's important, of course, to have a very tasteful, nice sounding instrument that it doesn't overpower. So when we use the amplification, such as tonight, I'll have to use the amplification for tonight because I'm playing with the orchestra, and it would be impossible to play without the amplification. But if it's done in a really solid way, a very natural sound, so that you don't hear that the sound is coming from the amplifier. That's very important. So it's possible to do that. And it's just, you know, I feel a responsibility towards the audience. They really need to hear. They came to the concert to hear the piece. So if I play without the amplification, it would be impossible for them to hear. So
was it impossible to hear the guitar in 1939 when this concerto came out? I mean, how did they handle that?
Interestingly enough, Segovia used to play without the amplification.
Right.
I don't know how he has done it. It sounds pretty incredible to me that he didn't use the amplification, even with the orchestras.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. We don't have a lot of early recordings, do we, of guitar concertos?
No.
Wonder
yeah, Pepe Romero. Why. Pepe Romero did a couple of recordings. Yeah, Rodrigo and Tedesco and such. But Segovia used to play without. without the amplification. I think he worked with the instrument, and maybe the orchestra played a little bit softer. Mm-hmm. And I think the audiences were maybe different. You know, it's always interesting to talk to people that actually attended Segovia's concerts, and they would say that he would sometimes play very, very soft just to draw the audience into his artistry.
Yeah,
make them listen. Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's hear some of your from one of your CDs on the Naxos label, which has this wonderful Castles of Spain collection by Federico Moreno Toroba. We have that. Actually, before we get to that, though, we had another piece that you wanted to hear. And when I say you wanted to hear, I'm not sure if you have heard it recently or not. That's always an interesting question. This is from an earlier, Naxos CD from 1999, in fact.
Yes. Yeah.
And you must have been like fresh out of kindergarten at that time.
I was young back then.
This is by Francisco Tarraga,
yes.
Moorish Dance. And what can you tell us that will help us to appreciate it all the more when we hear it?
Well, I think Francisco Tarraga really was one of the most prominent composers, especially with classical guitar. So most of the repertoire for classical guitar comes from Tarraga. So this is one of the pieces that I absolutely love, and I hope the listeners will enjoy it.
One of those composers who actually wrote for the guitar in the first place. A lot of guitar music that we hear was written for the piano, like, you know, the Granados and the Albanus.
Mm-hmm.
But piano pieces inspired by the guitar, so they fall very easily, don't they, into your fingers?
They do, yeah. There's a lot of really good arrangements by Albanus. I love the piano pieces the set of piano pieces, Granada, Asturias, Sevilla.
Oh, yeah.
Those are just, I mean, they're beautiful on piano, but there's something special when they're played on the guitar. It's a really, really special sound. So.
And you hear them more often as guitar pieces than
yes,
you do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. It's almost a novelty sometimes as yes. piano pieces. Now, I'll mention this again in this context, that Anna Vidovich, my guest for the midday today, is going to be performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight at 7:30, Capitol Theater. Also on the program, a Mozart 30th Symphony, the Bruckner 3rd Symphony, and what Anna will be playing, the Concierto de Aranjuez, probably the most famous of all guitar concertos by Rodrigo. Tickets are almost gone for that, by the way, but there are some here and there out there. But in the context of performing a concerto with an orchestra, how do you prepare for that as a soloist?
Well, you have to actually be really, really well prepared, because by the time you actually get to rehearse with the orchestra, you only have maybe one or two rehearsals. Sometimes there's only one. So everybody has to be very well prepared. That's number one. And you kind of, you know, you play with the orchestra a couple of times, you kind of feel each other. But before, the way orchestra breathes and
sure,
you kind
yeah.
of find your way. But before that, you know, I practice a lot by myself. I practice very slowly. I practice sometimes with the recordings mm-hmm. of just the orchestra, and then I play as a soloist. And that helps me a lot, because I feel like I have, you know, I have an orchestra behind me, and it's a good practice.
So, playing with, rehearsing with a CD,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't necessarily be your own performance. So you're actually, in that context, you're matching somebody else's performance tempo and dynamics.
Yeah, it's not so much matching. You can always change. You can always change your way of performing, and you don't have to play. This is more just as a practice.
Sure.
Just as a practice, just to know where you have to come in, where you have to play your solos, your cadenzas. And so this is more just a simple practice. But later on, when you actually play a concert, you can change, and you can bring your own, you know, your own performance into it, and your own life and your own emotions. But this is just purely as a practice exercise.
Well, we're going to be hearing Anna playing live in our studio a couple of pieces in a couple of minutes. There is one more, though, that from her CDs. This is another Naxos CD, much more recent, from about 2013, looks like, and features the Castles of Spain by Marino Toraba, and it's actually all devoted to his work. And it's just... I see it's volume one, so are there at least two of these?
Yes.
Okay, that would make sense. But you never know. There's only one Premier Rhapsody by W.C. And this Preludio is a piece that you hear occasionally. Is there a particular appeal of that for you?
Oh, actually, all those pieces, I love the Toraba. I was really, really glad when they asked me to do this CD, because I do love his pieces, and the Castles of Spain are beautiful, but the Preludio is just a short, very, very sweet kind of piece that I think the listeners would enjoy.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Preludio by Federico Moreno Toroba, one of the great composers for guitar, 20th century composer. Anna Vidovich, the guitarist for the occasion and also for the midday of the day. And before we hear one or two pieces here in our studio about the guitar, you've become a spokesperson for this particular kind of guitar.
Yes, this guitar actually comes from Australia and is made by a maker, Jim Redgate. So I met Jim a few years ago. Actually, it's been more than 10 years ago, and I've heard about his instruments. I really heard very, very high comments, and people that played very much liked it. So I decided to try it. And as soon as I tried it, I kind of knew that would be the guitar that I'm going to be playing for many, many years. I love the sound. It's very warm, very, very soothing. But it's also a very powerful guitar. It has a really, really strong sound, so it kind of has really both qualities, as warmth, smoothness, but also power when needed.
Yeah. And feels good when you play it. I mean, I gather some are just easier to play than others.
Yeah, well, it could be. It's not so much easier. It's just some instruments you kind of really connect with. That's why.
I've heard that.
That's why when people ask me which guitar would you suggest me to play, I always say you have to find your own guitar. You have to do the work. You have to, because every guitar is different. That doesn't mean this guitar is going to work for someone else. So I just know that it feels right for me and what I'm looking for, and in terms of sound and projection, and that's why I love playing it. So it feels good, and I got used to it very, very much, because I've played it for many, many years. So it's kind of my instrument right now.
And this is your only guitar?
I have another one that the same maker.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I have a Croatian guitar too, but I mostly play this one. Yeah.
All right. And you're going to play now, this is, what is it, Recuerdos de la Alhambra?
Yes, this is going to be Recuerdos de la Alhambra, Memories of the Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega.
Here we go. Thank you. most famous of guitar pieces, actually, justifiably so, for the reminiscences of the Alhambra.
Yes.
Lovely stuff. Don't need to ask what the appeal of that one is. It has just about everything you could ask for in a guitar piece.
It's a lot of really beautiful things. I think it's one of my favorite pieces. And I've played it for many, many years, and I never get tired of it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful melody. And I think every player has to, you know, can bring something different to it. So some of their own emotions and some of their own memories. So it's a very, very special piece.
Do I remember right? Did you start playing when you were five?
Yes.
And so does that work the same as it would with, say, violin? You have a one-quarter size guitar that you work with or something like that?
No, not really. I think I had my brother's guitar. I think I was playing my brother's guitar, which was a regular size. I don't know how I did it. I don't remember any of it. So pictures. My parents have pictures, and it looks pretty big. I don't know how I was stretching.
Some serious intervals there to
the
cover
fingers. Yes.
Your left hand.
But for some reason, I was able to do it. I don't. Maybe that's why my hand kind of grew with the guitar. Naturally, but it was the first guitar was my brother's guitar.
And he's out there. You see recordings by Victor also.
Yeah, Victor's great guitarist, yes.
Well, you have another one for us, and is there a story behind this one?
This is the one that everybody knows. Uh-huh. This is the very, very famous song by Beatles. I'm not going to say the name because everybody's going to know which one it is.
I can tell you this much, the original handwritten lyrics are in the British Library, in the special books room with Beowulf on one end and this song on the other.
Yeah.
So here we go. Giving Paul McCartney full credit, and of course our performer Anna Vidovich. Do you know offhand who made that arrangement?
This was made by Toru Takemitsu, actually a Japanese composer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a very celebrated arrangement of one of the most recorded or most frequently heard tunes in history.
Mm-hmm.
Great to hear it live in our studio today. And thanks for coming by. I hope it's not another 3 years before your next visit.
Hope to see you soon. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're very busy. You're going to Japan later in the summer, I see, and all over, especially the eastern U.S. in the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy year. So, yeah. Well, it's good to be busy, though.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it? Yes, I've often thought so. And Anna Vidovich, my guest today, is going to be performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight. There are a few tickets left for the performance in the Capitol Theater, 7:30 tonight. The program features Mozart's 30th Symphony, Bruckner's 3rd Symphony, and then the centerpiece, the Concierto de Aranjuez by Rodrigo, with Anna Vidovich as the soloist. Until next time.
See you. Bye-bye.